This week's episode of Still Entitled is sponsored by Piper. Get security without the fees, and better yet, without the security companies. Check out Piper. It's an all-in-one home security and home automation system packed with a camera, multiple environmental sensors, and even a blaring siren. Get notified when motion or sound is detected and see exactly what's going on directly from your mobile device with encrypted live or recorded HD videos. It's easy to use and there's no wiring required. Starting from $199, you'll have a security system that you can customize to focus on exactly what matters to you. Go to getpiper.com/untitled. That's getpiper.com/untitled. And you can collect $25 off any Piper or Piper bundle.
Welcome to Still Entitled, the Adam Savage Project. I'm Will.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Norm.
I was looking at it, I was like, wait, I don't remember your name anymore.
Which podcast is this?
Which one is this? Is this the dad's one or is this the other?
Wake up, anyway, man.
So let's just get right into it. You had emergency surgery.
I did.
Yeah.
Yes. Now 3 days ago.
It wasn't serious emergency surgery. No. I mean, all emergency surgery is serious surgery.
So yeah, I tweeted a picture. I had two of my four wisdom teeth removed.
Tops or bottoms?
Actually, number 1 and 32, a top and a bottom on my right side.
Wow, weird.
At least on the same side.
Well, so here's the deal. My wisdom, I'm one of those people who genetically does not have to have their wisdom teeth removed. But I have a well-known proclivity for eating the sugars.
Yes.
And wisdom teeth, when you don't have them removed, become, as my dentist calls them, plaque catchers. And it's really difficult to get back there. And so in January, she said, you've got to get those wisdom teeth out. You should make an appointment. And I didn't.
Of course, as one does.
Cut to me on tour in April, I start getting a toothache. So I go to the dentist. Dentist says, your toothache is in your bottom wisdom tooth on the right side. I can't do anything about it because you can't root canal a wisdom tooth.
Yeah.
There's too much going on. You just need to have it out.
And yeah. And you can't do it while you're on the tour because you can't take a day off or 2 days off
right.
Or whatever.
And also I was, you know, potentially going to get super puffy in the face. Mm-hmm. Mm. So then I got back. We had to run right back into Mythbusters production. And then we were on a location shoot. And then we went to the Bahamas for reasons that I can't exactly explain right now.
For work.
For work.
Yeah.
It was for work. And in the middle of the Bahamas, the toothache. Now, I've been taking Vicodin. And I can't stand that stuff. I mean, yes, it helps with the pain, but ibuprofen is more reliable to me. However, the pain was so extreme up and down over the last month, vacillating between 3 and 5.
On the 10 scale.
On the 10 scale.
So
5 will ruin your day.
It's funny because like toothaches are something that were an incredibly common problem, let's say 50 or 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever had an actual toothache.
I have had a very interesting experience dealing with a constant pain for an extended period of time. And the mental ways in which that pain goes up and down, like stressful situations, mm-hmm. make it worse. Busyness makes it better. All of these different things.
But keeping your mind off of it.
Yes.
I also like that you know the scale, the pain scale.
Yeah,
you said 3 to 5. It's not inflated at all.
No.
Like when you say 3 to 5.
I've had capsaicin injected under my skin.
Yeah.
This was 20%, not as bad as that.
Right. Some people are like,
so that was a 7?
That's a 7.
That was a 7.
No, yeah.
This was a 5.
Yeah.
So I had to leave the Bahamas 24 hours early. My dentist, she's amazing. I love her. I will not tell you her name because she's mine. We love her. Really, she's like actually a friend.
When you find a good dentist, it is a person to bring into your life and make integral to both of each other.
So she worked out and she got me an appointment with the guy. And on Friday, I went in. Now, here's the best part is because my wisdom teeth don't need to be removed genetically, they're actually easy to remove.
Oh, so mine were all wrapped around the bottom jaw and it was a nightmare.
And everyone has stitches because they got to go in there with a jackhammer and everything. I didn't have any of that. So they pulled out really well.
Nice.
The cavity that I had that was causing me toothache looks like something out of The Fifth Element. It is so awful and horrifying.
Did you take pictures?
No, I haven't.
Oh.
I kept the teeth. Of course I kept the teeth.
No one keeps their teeth.
Of course I did.
You should. You should
always.
They
don't let you keep the teeth, usually.
They gave them right to me. I have all of my kids' lost baby teeth in an Erlenmeyer flask in my office, and I put my two big teeth in there.
Teeth are gross.
They are absolutely sickening. And it's
you guys are really dainty.
I mean, over time, yeah, with all that plaque and stuff, first of all, flossing is number one thing.
Some days I don't brush, but I always floss.
People don't know how to floss properly either. It's not the song motion. It's the scraping
up and down.
Well, so my dentist told me to get, I can't believe we're talking about dental care here. We're not dentists, just to be clear. But she told me to get one of those things you clip the little heads on, and it has a thing that goes across. It's like basically just a crossbar. And when I started using that, all of a sudden I got good at flossing. Like, I had always gotten bad notes when I went into the dentist before about my flossing. And once I switched to that, she was like, oh, no, you're doing a really good job, because it's all up and down.
Yeah.
And you kind of just rank it around from side to side to get the edges.
At any rate, I had the surgery on Friday. There was a potential that I had to be on a television show of some kind on Saturday. Luckily, I didn't have to be. However, the dentist was so gentle, I did not have major swelling.
Oh, that's nice.
You'll be glad to know I don't have to take serious painkillers. I haven't had to take serious painkillers this weekend, which is good, because I can't stand the fog of that stuff. I'm generally not a pill taker. Mm-hmm. Ibuprofen is the only drug I take regularly because, you know, I'm getting older and my job is active. And that's what I've been hammering it with.
Yeah.
You're not in a weakened state.
So I am much better now. It's such a godsend not to have that.
But the delirium. It would have been great to sit in a movie theater with that delirium.
And it was, because yesterday I sat through the very stressful and awesome Mad Max Fury Road.
You thought it was, I watched it yesterday morning. And it wasn't super stressful.
I just found it's brilliant. Unrelenting.
Yes.
You have to give it that.
When I think about super stressful, I think about like the kind of existential dread that I get watching Breaking Bad or something like that.
No, it's not that kind of stressful. Not even Pulp Fiction stressful.
Yeah.
Is this going to be as bad as I think it's going to be? No, it's more just like it's unrelenting. It is the most expansive car chase ever.
It's amazing.
2-hour car chase with all the peaks and valleys that, like, it's of good writing.
Do we want to talk about a little bit and then transition to spoiler cast after a couple of minutes of talking?
Sure.
So we'll do spoilers for a bit, and then we'll warn you if you haven't seen it yet.
That sounds good.
First off, I think everybody here agrees you should go see the movie.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's fantastic, and I think that let's just talk about the Mad Max Road Warrior franchise thus far. Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer that the Road Warrior, which is also called Mad Max 2, is the best.
I think that's a very safe statement.
Mad Max, the first one, which is a much darker and really disturbing and upsetting film, is the second best. And Beyond Thunderdome has some redeeming qualities, although it's a little more comic.
More B-movie.
Beyond Thunderdome is very similar to Army of Darkness for me, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Here's a cult thing that was, in this case, a foreign movie and did pretty well.
Yeah.
And then got a big release in the U.S. And then they made a third one Hollywood style. And it was kind of, I'd rather have the original.
These movies made Mel Gibson, and they deserved to, because Mel is amazing in them. He is such an incredible action hero and a brand new kind of one.
But the neat thing about Mad Max has always been that it's not like, I guess in the first one, the story is about him and his journey. But the second and third movies are very much, he's just kind of the camera. He's a framing story.
He's your witness.
Surviving.
Yeah. And that's actually been a very interesting, well, we'll get to that when we talk spoiler cast stuff, because I think Tom Hardy, the cast of this movie is phenomenal. The acting is amazing. The writing is great. The stunts are incredible. It looks beautiful. The cinematographer, whose name escapes me right now, came out of retirement to shoot this. Mm-hmm. They shot it in the Namib Desert.
Mm-hmm.
It is
for months. Like, they were literally there for 6 months. Yeah.
It really, really is worth seeing and should be seen. It is not overly gory.
No. It is difficult to watch sometimes, but not gory.
It is.
There's a lot of stuff that will make you really uncomfortable.
It's not gratuitous.
No.
It is not gratuitous.
But it's honest.
And without being spoiler, I will tell you, if you watch the trailers and you see the waifish females and you worry that, like a lot of action movies, you are going to have to witness their abuse in order to witness some redemption, you do not. And that might be at the top of the list of my favorite things about this goddamn movie, is that they don't subject you to having to watch women be abused for fuck's
sake. There's no torture porn.
Sorry for cursing, but that's one of those things that as soon as I saw that trailer, I was like, oh, Christ, we're going to have to watch someone get raped and I'm going to have to leave the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their arc and their story, their redemption is not contingent on how bad they had it on screen.
It is a different story than you think it is. And
everything about the movie is different than I thought it was coming in.
Yeah.
Like it is a perfect example of a trailer that masked the movie, but told you what you needed to see to get done.
Yeah, and even the big set pieces, you see in the trailer a giant tornado and you're like, oh, that's gotta be the big finale, but it's not.
I was interested to see, and I still don't think this is a spoiler. Most of what you've seen in the trailer is in the first 5 minutes of the film.
Or first 15, probably, yeah.
If it's a two-hour car chase, they have a lot of material to work with.
And they really managed to do I really appreciated that the trailer showed a lot that did not spoil nearly any of the film for me.
So the thing that I love the most about this is that it's clear George Miller had spent the last 25 years thinking about this world, right?
Yeah.
And probably most of his life, if I had to guess. Everything you look at in this movie.
I'm thinking him on set on Babe. He's directing Babe, and he's like, oh, well, I'm wondering what Max is doing right now.
And again, this
Happy
is...
Happy Feet. Oh, what?
Wait, he did Happy Feet too?
Guy that directed Babe and Happy Feet directed The Road Warrior. So wrap your freaking head around that.
Think about
Danny Boyle, right?
That Happy Feet is like a precursor to Mad Max because it's also like an environmentalist movie.
Norm, that's the best thing I've heard all day.
It's like the world falls apart because of the things that happen in Happy Feet and then...
Look, I think, I actually think of Babe as one of the sweetest movies ever made. I know I'm given to hyperbole.
I've never seen Babe.
Oh,
or Happy Feet, probably.
Babe is amazing. Babe loves you.
I have a 2-year-old now, so I'm in the window for watching Babe again.
Right now.
Yeah.
No, Babe is a masterpiece.
So I love everything you look at has a rich backstory that they don't tell you. Like you look at characters walking through the desert who have nothing to do with the race, and there is very clearly they're up to something. George knows what it is.
Yeah.
We don't. I love having that kind of, it's the same kind of backstory that like the Millennium Falcon had in Star Wars.
Every piece of the world has a long tail.
Yeah. Well, if you think of the series, Mad Max Road Warrior Thunderdome, he says that even though this movie is set, you know, decades or in our time, film decades later, it's only supposed to be only a few years later. And it's the same Max. Tom Hardy, surprisingly, around the same age as Mel Gibson was when he did Road Warrior.
Really?
A little older, but Mel Gibson was really young.
Yeah. So he's like in his 20s in the first.
Yeah.
It's the continuation of that character. You know, he has the long hair, you know, and then he becomes more of a Tom Hardy persona.
Yeah.
But it's like you see, you know, they still call it gasoline, like the world.
Yeah.
You know, in the first Mad Max, you had roads. You had the world was not completely falling apart. And then, you know, society rebuilds itself in its own ways. And by Fury Road, there are no real roads and you have a fully developed post-apocalypse.
So shall we transition?
Yeah, let's transition.
Spoiler cast starts now.
Here it comes.
Yeah.
Can we put some graphics?
I'll put like a bomb or something in there. Yeah.
Spoiler cast.
There we go. Norm just, I don't have to do it. Norm got it for me.
Just animate to his fingers and we're good.
I'll put some sparkles out of him or something. That should be something that'll be easy to do and won't take me hours to figure out.
From his head.
Yeah, I'll get right on that. Okay.
What do you want to start?
I want to start with the fact that it's totally blew me away that Charlize Theron's the main character of this movie.
But you should have known that because Max is never the main character of the movie.
It didn't occur to me. You're right. You're right. When you look back at the other movies, Max isn't necessarily. Max is your camera. He is your protagonist. He is our eyes. He is our ethos. Actually, even.
Well, it's just
he's
like
just
Star
the point of view.
Wars. Right. Star Wars is Princess Leia's story.
Or R2-D2's.
R2-D2 and C-3PO are the lens.
Are the cameras? Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Because it's her,
right.
It's the rebellion.
Actually, so, Star Wars is the story of Anakin, right?
Well, if you want,
at any rate, gentlemen.
Sure.
I thought Charlize Theron. Somebody said this early on, and I love this. You can shave her head, rub oil all over her face, and she is still one of the world's most beautiful women.
Oh,
yeah.
Like you can't. What is it? You can't put that light under any kind of bushel.
it's you, like talking about the physical transformation actresses and actors take now has kind of become it's become just the thing that people do. But this was amazing. I couldn't believe that she amputated her arm for the role.
Yeah, that's going. I mean, that's pretty significant.
Well, it's method.
And yeah, her stunt double. Fantastic. I mean, you're right. So if we talk about the character story, we're entering this world, you know, even if it's the first Mad Max movie you've seen, you get the first opening lines are him standing at the edge and he tells you the theme of the movie right away.
Right.
Survival.
Yes.
And then it's a car chase, you know, car chase upon car chase. And, you know, it, to be fair, that first 10 minutes where he gets branded and, you know, you get to find out that citadel that they're all in with the war boys, the lens is on him.
Yeah.
You don't get Furiosa until the war part, until her caravan.
Imperator Furiosa is the name of Charlize Theron's character.
His story appears to be done, actually, because he's caged.
Right, and he actually remains caged for the first third of the movie. Yes. Yeah. He doesn't actually get all the way out of his bonds until halfway through.
And when the, you know, when they're framing up the caravan to do the trade for oil with the Guzzling town, which again,
it's water for oil is the trade.
You have
presumably
or mother's milk for oil.
Yeah, mother's milk
for oil.
Right.
Okay.
So one town makes all the bullets. One town makes all the gas. One town makes.
Oh,
all
is that the theme?
Yeah. So
it's bullet town and gas town. Bullet farm, gas town.
And so yeah, that's sort of the world building. The camera isn't even really focused on her until they're already on the road,
yeah,
and then she makes the call. And she, you know, she makes a decision to go off road, and then,
everybody with her follows her unconditionally because that's the way it works.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so she already has, you know, she's not a slave in the traditional sense in that world. Like she has stature and standing, and they follow her. But then it becomes a big change.
Well, she's a lieutenant, right? It seems like, or a high ranking
general,
lieutenant or
whatever. She's the best of the best.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful transformation that she and Max go through, starting out fighting begrudgingly with guns pointed at each other, escaping because they don't have as much to fight with each other about as they do to get away from other bad guys, and then becoming effectively partners because they're the only ones that can handle this thing and understand each other on a level as survivors.
Yes.
That becomes the connection. They are both survivors in the extreme.
Well, they're blood siblings, literally.
Like yes.
They share blood.
Right. That literally.
By the end.
That becomes the ritual. I wanted to talk about, there's been a lot of kerfuffle about whether or not Mad Max Fury Road is a feminist masterpiece, an anti-male diatribe, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of stuff about the movie's feminism or lack thereof. And there are people on both sides, from MRA to feminists, who have argued both sides of this coin.
People are really upset about this movie.
They are very upset about it.
That's interesting that you say that on both sides of the spectrum, they're making both arguments.
They are. And I spent a fair bit of time reading a bunch of it. And I have to say, you know, there are people for whom, look, Hollywood makes the most appallingly sexist movies. It can, right? It's totally
I've seen Transformers 3.
And has done that, right. You know, the idea.
It's funny, same actress.
That's a super good point.
As far as the way movies have traditionally treated women in action movies, this movie is a giant leap forward. As far as a feminist who might have spent years watching this terrible degradation of women in Hollywood, this movie might not go far enough, and I totally grant that, but it is a giant leap forward for action movies, in my opinion, specifically because they don't do a lot of the dumb tropes that movies do. They don't make the women things to rescue. They don't set up a powerful woman and then turn her useless at the beginning of Act 3 so a man can rescue her. They don't succumb to all of that bullshit. And I really think that it's wonderful for them.
They actively, in fact, actually, the women in what they call it, the harem, the wives of the Immortan Joe. They say, we're not things. Like, that's a thing that they clearly have repeated to themselves.
You hear about them. And they actually, they're actually fairly competent. They have their own minds. They don't become, you know, at the key moments of the film.
Well, they exhibit the whole range, yeah. Right? There are some that, that want nothing to do with guns and won't do guns. There are some that are counting bullets and reloading guns and shooting guns by the end of the movie. And then there's this amazing moment, what, at the end of the second act, when they reach the place that they've been going the entire time and they meet a tribe of
hardened older women.
Yes. Matriarchs is what matriarchs. We, people would have called them before, but and I don't think that's probably right.
So they are crusty and awesome, and if I had a place to choose to go survive, I would be with those chicks.
Yeah, they were ready fantastic. To go. One man, one bullet.
One man.
Which I think is probably what the MRA people got pissed off about.
Look, yeah. I'm never going to agree with those guys. I mean, that's in the extreme.
So it's a fringe. To go to the other extreme, let's talk about why feminists, for example, think the movie doesn't go too far enough.
Well... Look, I'm a believer that the perfect is the perfect is the enemy of the good. Sure, we have a lot to atone for in the ways that we have treated women in our culture, in our media. There are many things to leap forward for, and you know, there's a lot of bodies along the side of the road to make a.
are a lot of bodies on the side of the road.
Yeah, there are a lot of bodies on the side of the road, and there's a lot of people still. I mean, there's still a lot of suffering because of that, because of the way we culturally make media that subjugates and, you know, makes
it's
sport of women. But it's not going to happen. It's going to happen incrementally. That's the way everything happens. This movie is an increment, a great increment forward from a guy. Like, and also to be clear, sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good. You're doing the thing I usually do.
George Miller brought in Eve Ensler, mm-hmm. the writer of the Vagina Monologues, to actually talk to the, to spend, I think, a week or two.
The things I read, it said a bunch of different times, but it was at least 2 weeks.
It was at least 2 weeks with the women within the harem of Immortem Joe, mm-hmm. To talk to them about how they would be responding to the trauma of their captivity. Right. And Eve Ensler famously wrote the Vagina Monologues. But
she also did research in African countries where mm-hmm. people are, you know, ritually raped and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And that was the specific brunt of that. That seemed like the reason she was there.
And that is a terrific step in the right direction for a major director of an expensive, big blockbuster tentpole film to bring in a renowned feminist to talk to the cast about putting real depth into this story rather than the surface depth of, oh, I watched her get raped in act one. Therefore, in act three, I get to watch her kill the guy.
Right.
There are almost no gratuitous murders in this film,
which is not from the past. The past movies had tons of gratuitous murders, 80
and in
style.
Fact, one of the few really gruesome murders happens completely off screen. When Max
movie?
Goes to deal,
oh, yeah.
with the interceptor, the tank thing, yeah. He just goes off into the fog and then comes back covered with blood, and it turns out it's not his blood.
Yeah.
And we don't see that because the women only killed for self-defense. Max actually goes for retaliation at that point.
Yeah.
Do you think that's retaliation? I mean, I think that's just, it's stopping the, like, if he doesn't kill him, he's going to come for him.
Yeah.
Right?
I also feel that yeah, the symbology also of Max coming back and washing the blood off
with the milk.
Milk.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
So the thing that struck me as I was watching the movie is that both Charlize Theron and Max are Furiosa and Max are both very pragmatic. So there's a couple of scenes where the one that comes to mind immediately is the one where he's taking the shots with the rifle. They only have a couple of bullets left. He takes two shots, misses both, and she's like, why don't you let me do that?
She doesn't even say it.
Yeah.
She's standing behind him. There's a pause, and beautifully, he takes the rifle off of his shoulder and hands it to her. Mm-hmm.
And since she doesn't have the arm, doesn't acknowledge it other than she just rests the rifle on his shoulder.
And then says, don't breathe, and she makes the shot. I love that scene. I love that nonverbal.
When going back to how they were at each other's throats in the beginning, like, it takes a while before they trust each other.
It's earned.
Both their perspectives, it makes total sense. Like, watching it, she has no reason to trust him.
Yeah.
She doesn't know that he's,
no,
you know,
nor he,
his
her.
Name, it's his name on the movie or whatever. He's, yeah, the lens. Right. And it takes a while, and that feels earned. And like, she has no, she doesn't hesitate to pull that trick with the shotguns.
You're totally, yeah, right. It feels very earned, especially when she shows him the special key sequence to run the car. So I think,
but that was a pragmatic choice too. Yeah. She couldn't do the driving then.
Right.
He had to be able to drive. Yeah. So she had no choice whether she trusted him or not. She had to tell him how to start the car, or else the cargo was going to die.
The earning part is when he goes off in that one scene where you don't see it off camera, when he kills the bullet guy, and it's not a, you know, now I trust you because you can kill people. It's because you're also surviving.
Right. Yeah. So when you ask about, let's say, feminists who feel like this film does not go far enough. A friend of mine is a philosophy professor and asked me if I'd seen Ex Machina, which I have not.
Oh,
yet.
Yeah. That's the one I want to talk about exactly as a comparison.
And I want to see Ex Machina. But when she asked me if I'd seen it, I said, I haven't. I'm a little nervous about it. And she said, why? And I said, hi, female android robot.
Sexy robot.
Yeah. I'm worried about which way it's going to go. And she said, that's good that you're worried. The film subverts what you think is going to happen, and it's smarter than that. And I said, great, I'm really looking forward to seeing it then. And I think one of the main complaints I've read is, this isn't a feminist masterpiece. It's an action movie that basically doesn't succumb to a lot of the dumb tropes that most action movies do. And again,
by definition, I think that's a good lens.
It's not
to
deep.
Qualify it.
This isn't necessarily a deep movie, because mm-hmm. it's a big action movie. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. Again,
yeah. No.
What do
no,
you think?
But no, I think that's the lens by saying it doesn't need to have the checkboxes in the tropes. That's what makes it a big step forward.
The fact that, you know, that it's more complex than the Bechdel test, right?
Yeah, it passes the Bechdel test repeatedly, where women are talking on camera with names about something other than a man. This is.
Yeah, this is. But I mean, the Bechdel test is the thinnest of criteria.
Because it's shocking that it's so hard to crack to pass it.
Yes,
given its thin veneer of
even in movies that are theoretically made for women.
There's a good comparison in an article you sent over with Guardians of the Galaxy
with Gamora,
Gamora's character, which I thought that character was underserved. And
I thought she was totally underserved.
It's a really good contrast.
Her complexity was both boring and inexplicable at times.
You know, the very character of a warrior princess itself is a trope. You know,
but she's trained by Thanos. She should be an ultimate badass of the universe, right?
Right. And
right.
She gives away her plan the moment she's in prison to people she met 15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And by setting her up, that character, so high up, by saying she's a badass, you're also into self, you know, compensating for a lot.
Yeah.
And in this movie, it doesn't do that. She, you know, Furiosa is respected. She's a good driver, but she's not perfect. But she's not held up to that high standard.
Right. I'm really, really pleased with this movie. I know that Tom Hardy was apparently difficult on set and has apologized publicly to both George Miller and Charlize Theron for being difficult. I'm curious about, it might have been a very stressful shoot.
I mean, desert for 6 months seems hard.
But he has signed up for three more.
Oh my
goodness. Oh wow.
He has signed up for three more of these.
They didn't make a ton of money, so I hope they make three more. I hope they make one more.
I hope they make one more. I really enjoyed the spit out of this movie. And I do think that I'm not a fan of Hollywood's treatment of women, and this movie is a wonderful move forward.
It's also great that the movies don't need to be about, you know, those specific characters that we saw going forward. Mad Max, in some sense,
well, it's an anthology.
It's an anthology series. Where,
well, and the film ends with Max moving on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Max is leaving the Citadel, and Max is off to other adventures.
Which is, I mean, the Australian outback, and presumably the salt is across the Indian Ocean, or what remains of it.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of world out there for Max to explore.
Yeah.
The thing that you guys said, that the movie's about survival, and I think that's definitely true. The big conflict for me is that it's survival versus humanity. And these movies always start with Max in an almost feral state. I mean, the first one doesn't, but Road Warrior and Thunderdome both start with him almost feral. And then he develops a connection to humanity again, you know, becomes still absolutely brutal throughout, but, you know, goes back into the outback.
Yeah.
as a man, and then presumably something's going to happen. He's going to be out alone for a long time and come back feral again the next go round.
It'd be interesting, you know, Max keeps on going to find his adventure. It'd be interesting if the next movie finds Max settled somewhere. Mm. And adventure comes and finds him.
I don't think he's a settler. I don't think he's going to have another wife and kids.
No. I don't think so either. But maybe he finds a nice little bit of green on the edge of some waterway. Yeah, the port cities in Australia are lovely.
The John Wick version of Mad Max.
Old, retired. I'm 2 weeks from retirement.
I think we're unanimous, though, in go see Fury Road. It deserves your $10. Go see. I wasn't a big fan of it in 3D, frankly.
I didn't watch it in 3D.
I saw it in 3D.
I had to see it in 3D because that's the ticket I could get, and it wasn't that. I want to go see it again in 2D.
It's some of the best stunts. Best cinematography for a car chase. I mean,
it's
oh, and also most of the stunts, there's a lot of CG in this movie, but only in service of the stunts which were practically done. It's not like cars flying through the air while people are playing chess inside them and crap like that.
Well, there are cars flying through the air,
but there are real cars flying through real air and real drivers doing some very amazing stunts.
It's the anti-Michael Bay in a lot of ways. So we touched on this a little while ago. He got a wonderful performance out of what's her name from the third Transformers movie, Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, mm-hmm. something like that.
Okay.
Which I didn't think was possible after seeing that third Transformers movie. And the battle scenes are intelligible and you can see what's going on. Like you can follow all the fights. You can follow the car chases. It's cut really quickly in a lot of places, but there's always a sense of purpose and there's always a trail to follow. So you know what's going on.
There's also that lovely, lovely transformation of Nux, the war boy who becomes among their party. And I really dug, that was perhaps the most surprising twist in the film to me, that he becomes a genuinely interesting character. And you get a glimpse into a whole new aspect of the world because of his character.
And they gave those, when was the last time you saw a stormtrooper get motivation? Like, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they gave motivation for all of those war boys, which is something that I've never, it's incredibly unusual.
And their cultish following, the story behind. Oh my God.
They're huffing intense. The paint to get jacked up to go kill themselves.
Great line.
Really, really creepy.
The production design. Mm-hmm. Is among the best production. I mean, there's tons of internet video of all the behind the scenes cars and testing and building that they did for the chase stuff.
They're real cars.
Bikes. Jalopnik has fantastic art.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And it's eye candy, mechanics candy.
Some of the best stuff are the contractors who built the cars, did a lot of their own shooting before they literally shipped the cars out and drove them out to set.
Wow.
And you can see these, you know, those tanks being tested.
Yeah.
Some great
stuff. Rock crawlers.
Oh yeah. The big monster truck.
Skull motifs. Yeah. It's wonderful. Go see it.
Mallory Ortberg on The Toast wrote, I think, my favorite thing about this, which is like, look, it's an incredibly sparse, you know, no, resource-free wasteland, yet somehow we have plenty of solder to glue skulls on everything. we have a guy whose only job on the chase is to play electric guitar, and also that electric guitar shoots fire.
Not only that, that entire rig actually worked. All those speakers played music, and those drummers were drumming at 70 miles an hour through the desert.
Oh, that is awesome.
I know. The production designer says, George Miller does not like things that do not work. So when you show him a prop, he goes, great, plug it in, let's see it go. And if it doesn't, he's like, come back when it works.
I hope George Miller gets to make as many of these movies as he wants for as long as he can.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So this is right up there with John Wick. Like, my favorite movies of the year list is already really full. We'll be back next week, I guess.
We will. That's a good spoiler cast.
With more still untitled. Thanks for watching, guys, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Today's episode of Still Untitled is brought to you by Piper, an all-in-one home security and home automation system without the fees, and better yet, without the security companies. Packed with a camera, multiple environmental sensors, and even a blaring siren, see exactly what's going on directly from your mobile device with encrypted live or recorded HD videos. There's no wiring required, it's easy to use, and you're completely in control. Starting at $199, you'll have a security system that you can customize to focus on exactly what matters to you. Go to getpiper.com/untitled, that's getpiper.com/untitled, and click $25 off any Piper or Piper bundle.